I would like to. I have looked at the notes and I want to read to you a verse from the Bhakti Rasayana Shlokas. It's actually from the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is clear. It's verses from the Bhagavatam which have been lined together in a special way. Ete linastava yashoki lalokatirtam gayanta adi purusha nupatam bhajante prayo ami munigana bhavadiya mukhya kudam vane pinajahat Yanagat Madaivam. O Original Personality. These bees must all be great sages and most elevated devotees of yours. For they are worshipping you by following you along the path and chanting your glories, which are themselves a holy place for the entire world. Though you have disguised yourself within this forest, O sinless one, these bees refuse to abandon you, their worshipable Lord. Before this verse, where Lord Balaram praises Lord Krishna, we had heard about how the rivers were desiring Lord Krishna. It was said that the rivers, when they heard the flute song of Krishna, experienced how the flow of their currents were broken and the waters are agitated, moving around in whirlpools. Then with the arms of their waves, the rivers embrace Murari's lotus feet and holding on to them present offerings of lotus flowers. So Sanatana Goswami had expressed that when a person hears something which begins to agitate him in some ways, the mind waves are becoming churned. So when the rivers in Vrindavan heard the most fascinating flute play of Lord Krishna, their waves became agitated. That means whirlpools appeared in them. And they were thinking, what can we offer to Krishna? He has captured our hearts. So they came with their long, with their waves, which are the arms of the river, and they presented Krishna's favorite lotus flowers on top of golden necklaces. They brought golden necklaces and on top of them lotus flowers and presented it to Krishna's lotus feet. Now, this was a great mistake because due to the confusion of love, they had forgotten that deep within the riverbeds there were jewels and diamonds. They could have offered these, which are so valuable, but because of the confusion of love, they forgot about it. Sanatana Goswami describes this. And in this way, he gives us a very, very graphic and very deep picture of the scenes in Vrindavan. Now, he moves on to the next. Now, we move on to the next verse. You must agree that more developed in consciousness than the rivers are the bees, the insects. They are a little above the rivers. So, in this verse now we hear how the bees are relating to Krishna. O original personality, these beasts must all be great sages and most elevated devotees of yours, for they are worshipping you by following you along the path and chanting your glories, which are themselves a holy place for the entire world. Now, please listen about these beasts who are better than the immovable beings. Krishna's glories, which the beasts are chanting, are called here Akila Loka Tirtha. This means places of pilgrimage for the whole world. Krishna's glories are like universally magnanimous spiritual masters, and they can deliver all, whether you are fit or unfit. If you hear Krishna's glories, Sanatana Goswami describes, whether you are fit or unfit, you will be benefited. Also, a Tirtha is in this case like a universal magnanimous spiritual master. The Tirtha elevates everyone who comes there. Now, however, you must also, Sanatana Goswami says, you must note that there is a difference between an ordinary Tirtha who can deliver everyone and Krishna Katha, because an ordinary Tirtha sometimes becomes overcrowded by sinful people and loses some of its potency because of this. Whereas Krishna Katha can never be overcrowded. An unlimited amount of people can listen to Krishna Katha and be benefited. So there is a difference. Here, Balaram says, your glories are like Tirthas, but actually Krishna's glories are more than Tirthas. They are more beneficial than Tirthas. This is Sanatana Goswami's explanation. Now, the next point is, Balaram says, these beasts must all be great sages and most elevated devotees of you, for they are worshipping you by following you along the path and chanting your glories. The beasts who followed Krishna were the best of sages and most elevated devotees. You know why? They never stopped chanting. They go all day. Whereas devotees and sages sometimes become so overwhelmed when they chant Krishna's glories that they fall into a trance and stop chanting while they are in the trance. These beasts are chanting the whole day, so therefore they are more elevated than the sages, saints and devotees. Do you understand the logic? Good. There's another reason why these beasts are so wonderful. The beasts are so wonderful because they find Krishna. Even though Krishna hides himself in the forest, the bees always find him. Have you noticed this? When you make a walk through the forest, the bees find you always. So these bees find Krishna, although Krishna is so difficult to find. Krishna is hiding himself in the forest of the Vedic scriptures. What are the covering trees which cover Krishna's place? The information about karma and jnana, which is very much there in the Vedas. Fruitive activities which can help you to enjoy more, and jnana means knowledge, which often is full of impersonal knowledge, world-denying knowledge. So in this way, the Vedic scriptures are sometimes compared to be like a forest where it's difficult to find Krishna. But the bees find Krishna, just like devotees find Krishna. Sometimes people have been astonished when they read Prabhupada's commentaries to the scriptures, where in the purport, always Prabhupada says, this verse refers to Krishna. Really? And isn't it in the Gita, you always see Krishna this, Krishna that, and it doesn't, when you look at the verse, you don't really see it in the first glance, but Prabhupada always discovers Krishna everywhere. This is what a devotee is. He always sees Krishna in everything. So these bees find Krishna and go around him. They are certainly the best devotees. Yes. Mm. Now I will give my own commentary based on my biology class. The bees live in colonies. In one colony, you find 50,000 members. They usually have a life duration for 6 weeks, not more. Now, to get a little honey, the bees are extremely determined. They fly many miles each day to collect the nectar. Many miles. One honeybee, do you know how many flowers it visits a day? Up to 500 flowers. Yup, yup, yup. 500. In one day, yes. He's almost like a Sangatan devotee, isn't it? Now, when the bee has visited 500 flowers, it can collect one load of nectar for the hive. Do you know how many loads of nectar are necessary to produce 1 teaspoon of honey? 1,000 such loads. Amazing, isn't it? A teaspoon, not tablespoon. Teaspoon. So these bees are really nectar bees here. They are following Krishna around. They consider him to be the essence, not the honey, like ordinary bees. And therefore, I found this an explanation that actually they are saints who have disguised themselves as bees. This is not my own speculation. Sanatana Goswami says, to join Krishna, they have disguised themselves, these devotees and saints, as bees, so that they can always be with him and worship him in song. So you might say now, okay, this was something about the bee devotees of Lord Krishna, but how is this valuable for my life? Well, you have learned a lot of things that Krishna's glories are Akila Loka Tirtha, places of pilgrimage. Krishna is called Anaga. Anaga means he is sinless. Huh? And anyone who comes in contact with him will also become sinless. You have seen an example of eagerness to follow Krishna. These bees were saints and devotees in their past lives who wanted to be with Krishna in the forest, and they took on the form of bees. Imagine. And then they followed Krishna as bees everywhere around and sang his glories. You have heard about chanting. Always. And in this way, you learn to follow the devotees of Vrindavan. You also learn to find Krishna everywhere from these devotees. And you learn to chant his glories ever. Like this. So each verse of the Bhakti Rasayana Shlokas is full with rasa, with honey, with nectarian information of two kinds. One is just nice Krishna katha, and the other information is something you can follow. This is how Sanatana Goswami explained. I mean, Sanatana Goswami explains all these verses like this, and it's very nice. I want to recommend to you, if you have some free time, after you have gone through this intense college, then to read the Bhakti Rasayana Shlokas. And just see what they do for you. Discuss them in like-minded association. And I have often read, not often, sometimes read them, and I've always seen how there are many verses which are just very, very relevant to me, to enliven one in Krishna consciousness. For instance, there's one verse, sometimes I know devotees are saying, oh, it's nice to hear about Krishna, but at the same time, I'm not on the platform where I can always hear about Krishna. And this is a fact, but this Bhakti Rasayana verses are for everyone. For instance, there is something very nice I wanted to read to you. Yeah. My dear Lord Krishna, until people become your devotees, their material attachments and desires remain thieves. Yes. My dear Lord Krishna, until people become your devotees, their material attachments and desires remain thieves. Thieves, yes. Their homes remain prisons, and their affectionate feelings for their family members remain foot shackles. Foot shackles is, you know, prisoners are shackled on the foot so that they can't walk. So when you don't become a devotee, you have your material attachments which steal everything away from you. Who has experience of material attachments stealing the things away from us? I think we all know. John Philip, you also? Even you? And then it says, material attachments and desire so remain thieves. Yeah, we had this already. Homes remain prisons, and their affectionate feelings for the family members remain foot shackles. Not all of us have devotee family members like Krishna Chandra and Vrinda Devi, and I don't know who else. Hare Krishna. So not every one of us has devotees, has family members. Here it is said, if we remain attached to the material family members who are not in Krishna consciousness, then this can impede our growth, and they can be like foot shackles. Yes. So yes, let us finish now this session of today. We were saying today that the whole art of Krishna consciousness or spiritual life culminates in the process of absorption, absorbing our mind in Krishna. We have read that Rupa Goswami, from the perspective of a worshipper of Krishna, says that the whole aim of all the rules and regulations are to never forget Krishna, and to always remember Krishna, never forget him. And we also have heard how Lord Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita repeats two times to Arjuna the key verse, the Paribhasha Sutra of the Gita, always think of me. Mm-hmm. Yes. Now, we have done an exercise how to think of Krishna, and we have offered to all of you for your contemplative spiritual development a very nice traditional way to absorb yourself in Krishna in a guided way, which is almost a meditation. This traditional way are the Bhakti Rasayana Shlokas, which lead us step by step out of the material world into the spiritual world. They focus on two things, two points, these Bhakti Rasayana Shlokas. That is Vrindavan and the wonderful bhakti which the inhabitants of Vrindavan have, including the seemingly unmoving objects like rivers. We have heard about Yamuna Devi's loving offering to Lord Krishna. We have heard about Vrindavan and that Braj Bhakti, we say. And we have heard about devotees whose footsteps we can follow. We were very careful following today the bees of Vrindavan, who are singing Lord Krishna's glories, which are in themselves places of pilgrimage. I want to now put this information into a frame where it is useful for you. Our course here is a course on inner development, on inner, the contemplative path or the inner path of Krishna consciousness. We could also say the mental culture of Krishna consciousness. If we want to think of Lord Krishna, it's very important to not follow our imaginations. In Sanskrit, this imagination is called kalpana. Kalpana is something which we are warned on our path, and warned also by Srila Prabhupada. If we want to think of Krishna, it's important to do so under the guidance of devotees, and therefore these Bhakti Rasayana Shlokas are very useful. You might ask yourself the question, well, here's Satchinandan Swami who is requested to give a course on the inner dimension of Krishna consciousness. What does he expect us to do with the Bhakti Rasayana Shlokas? I would recommend you to read the Bhakti Rasayana Shlokas. You should first, at this moment, you are very much busy in your college life. I'm also doing like you these 6 hours a day. And I must tell you, I'm happy that I get my rounds done. It's quite intense, you know. You need to prepare for the classes. Then after the classes, you have to think a little bit about it. So at this, I also during this time in Radhadesh don't read the Bhakti Rasayana Shlokas. I've just purchased some easy to read books from Vishnumurti, which I read Vaishnava Society and such things. I'm reading at the moment, but I want to encourage you. There will be time in your Krishna conscious life. And there will be the need for you to absorb yourself in Krishna. At that time, you should get your Bhakti Rasayana Shlokas out. And please read them with the commentaries of Sanatana Goswami. It has really been a great... How in, this, in the BBT edition, which will come... the first volume is already out... And Briya Bhagavatamrita, yeah. Oh, really? Oh, yeah. Oh, wonderful. Is it the remaining part of the first half of the remaining part? So the Bhakti Rasayana Shlokas you will not get in this volume. You have to wait another volume. We have them in, yes, and this book can be borrowed and purchased, however you think. But they are without commentaries. So I would recommend you to get them in your, to read them, and if they appeal to you, you can do what I did. See, I have put them in another book, and then with my handwriting, I have taken the points of from Sanatana Goswami's commentary. I have a good relationship to the production team, and I have gotten everything in officially before it is printed. I know Gopi Paranadana, and he said, "You are interested in nectar, this is for you." And he gave me on the computer disk, and then I printed it out, and then I took notes in my book. My dear devotees, if you want to go deep in your Krishna consciousness, you have to engage your mind with Krishna. And it has to be done in an authorized way, sanctioned by your spiritual connection, which is Srila Prabhupada, and your own spiritual masters. And Prabhupada, he said about this Brihad Bhagavatamrita, in which the Bhakti Rasayana shlokas appear, that any devotee who wants to know about Krishna and his devotees and devotional service must read this book. If you want to do this, it's a help offered to you by Srila Prabhupada and our glorious spiritual tradition. Now, tomorrow, I will. Tomorrow is our individual discussion day, but the day after tomorrow, I want to introduce to you a very nice method of studying Srila Prabhupada's books in a way which touches your heart and makes you go deeper. I will introduce to you a formula called Asha. At this moment, this formula has to remain a secret because I have planned it as a surprise to you. It's a very nice method of reading Prabhupada's books. Bhurijam Prabhu has designed it and said it's prayerful reading. And we will make an experiment. Someone of you has to prepare this by getting a few books of the library, which I will introduce to you. I have to give you the books. Who could do this, Yadunanda? Bhakta Brahm, please come. Now, when you come and see me tomorrow, are you also on the list?
Yeah.
In the afternoon. Yes. You are coming at 5 o'clock. And then please bring a piece of paper, and then I will tell you what books we need for this very experience-oriented session on Prabhupada's books. Mm-hmm. Today I just want, my point was to just tell you, in our tradition there is a means to go deeper, a guided meditation, Bhakti Rasayana Shloka, and we were talking about this a little bit. And tomorrow, the day after tomorrow, we will do this in a way which you feel very happy. You will, I will give you assignments to read parts in Prabhupada's books according to a very nice method. It is very, very nice. So I hope you could draw something out of this totally Krishna-rized session. We will come to the end now. You can ask a few quick questions, and then I will give you a medicine. We have brought this medicine for you. It is medicine from Vrindavan. We were talking about Vrindavan. It's water from the most sacred lake in Vrindavan, it is actually from Radhakut. We have brought this water for you to give you a good medication in your life. And I think Vishnumurti must have heard from the super soul that this water is available today in the Bhaktivedanta College, and therefore he has mixed himself amongst the students. Yes. So do you have any questions regarding what you have heard in the afternoon? Our journalist? Good, then everything is clear. Then please come forward and get the water from Radhakund. Yeah, Dunandan is... do not go so... We will have a very lively session. At the outset, I want to read to you something which I've taken from a lecture of Srila Prabhupada, given in the year 68 in San Francisco, where Srila Prabhupada really drives down the point that we must think about our internal development. He says, you have to develop your attachment for Krishna. Begin it now. It is a very difficult job, but you can do it. Just as we have a few sincere students here. They are developing. Otherwise, why shall they waste their time in chanting Hare Krishna? You can develop love for anything if you try for it. But Krishna conscious development is very natural. Because Krishna is not a thing belonging to a particular type of religion or sect or society. Krishna claims, I belong to everyone. Therefore, originally you are all connected with Krishna. Simply you have forgotten. And we are trying to give you the process how you can revive your original consciousness. So, a devotee now asks a question to Prabhupada, which most probably is also in our mind. Do you think we can make it in one life? Prabhupada had said it is natural, but it is also difficult. So, is it possible for us to worship Krishna purely in this life? Prabhupada? Why not? Do you think we are simply wasting our time with this process? Why a lifetime? Within a second you can do. It is a spiritual process. It is not a material process that requires so and so much time. It requires simply the spiritual technique to know how you can develop Krishna attachment. As soon as you are 100% attached to Krishna, your business is finished. And if you cannot develop fully Krishna consciousness, then all your labor is a waste of time. The business is how to develop attachment for Krishna. If you are serious about it, it can be done within a second. If you are not, it cannot be done even in many lives. So it depends on your serious nature. Prabhupada later says, a little later, so why are we bothering so much for Krishna consciousness if it is not possible? It is possible. The answer is, that if you become submissive, if you develop the spirit of service to Krishna, if you simply chant and eat prasadam, Krishna will reveal himself. So, you begin this process of service, and then it will be possible one day where Krishna will reveal to you, I am like this. One who has developed the service spirit with love and devotion, he will understand Krishna. Nobody else. A child can understand Krishna if he has full faith and devotion in him. So it is faith and devotion that makes one qualified to understand God. I want to continue a little bit more. And so it is faith and devotion that makes one qualified to understand God. Just like now we are preaching Krishna consciousness. We are not wasting your time or our time without having full faith that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If we have faith, theoretically and practically, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you will understand God, how he is working, how he manifested, what are the spiritual and material worlds, what are the living creatures, and what is their relationship with God. So when your Krishna consciousness is perfect, you will be transferred to the spiritual world, and you will talk with Krishna just as you're talking with me. So faith and devotion, Srila Prabhupada says, is necessary. Faith and devotion, where do we find these things? What helps us to develop our Shraddha and devotion? This is a very good question. The answer to this is that we can find this really residing in the heart of a devotee. Shraddha, the beautiful queen of Shraddha, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, lives in the heart of a devotee. Faith and devotion also is in the heart of a bhakta. So, in this session this morning, I would like to give you a unique process how to associate with such a pure devotee and how to, by associating, become charged with these qualities. It is a process which I've learned myself last year in the autumn session. And I've learned it from Burijan Prabhu, who is a good friend of mine. He said, he introduced a very simple formula. Two very simple formulas. One he has introduced 10 years ago, and I will also come to this, and one which he has done now. It's called prayerful reading. I do not have notes with me, so I can't give you the I have nothing written, but I remember very much. Prayerful reading is a method which really is not totally the property of the Hare Krishna movement. I remember Goethe's mother. Who knows Goethe? Yes, Goethe. Goethe is a German poet who is quite well known. Mr. Goethe. No? Mr. Goethe's mother, she had a method which also my grandmother applied. They understood that the scriptures are manifested by God, so when they would have a difficult question in life, they would open the Bible and they would get answers from the Bible. Many Christians have done this. Who of you has ever done such a thing, that you had a question and you read in the books of Prabhupada? And did you sometimes notice how the book started to speak to you, and you really felt like, oh, maybe a little, no, someone else in the room? How did the book know that you had this question? And you might even felt a little bit, wie sagt man, unheimlich and a little scary at times, because it seemed that the book had an intelligence of its own, reading your own minds. And this is something which is the basis of prayer for reading. We understand that the scriptures have been manifested by Lord Krishna, and that Lord Krishna says in the Gita that I dwelling in the hearts with the shining lamp of knowledge destroy the ignorance born, the darkness born of ignorance. Huh? Krishna sometimes can respond to your need for enlightenment, and he can do so by using the transcendental literature. One thing which is very important is that you approach the prayer for reading in a very special way, and I will give you a few rules now how to do that. Let me take the thing with me. Here we have a green pen and a black pen and a red pen. A prayer for reading is done when you read with a certain agenda. Sometimes when you read, and I will call it, sometimes when you read, you want to finish a chapter. It has nothing to do really with looking for answers or enlightenment. It's a very passionate goal. How many pages still? Oh, 20. Okay, I muster up all my enthusiasm and I will somehow manage these 20 pages. Then I have finished the chapter. No, prayer for reading is you want to associate with Lord Krishna and with Srila Prabhupada. Associate with Srila Prabhupada and Krishna. You just want to be with them. You set aside, the technique is you set aside a certain time and then you start to read until something touches you personally. And then, instead of just running on, you stay with this subject. You can, for instance, apply a process which Burijan Prabhu has given at other times. You can ask the question, what does this say? These are questions. You know, you just study the content of the message. What is in there? What does it really say? Then, what does it mean?
let us say, Prabhupada writes this, unless one surrenders to Krishna, Krishna will not reveal himself to the soul. Then you think a little bit about it. What does it mean? It means I have to surrender and not have my own agenda. I must see what is Krishna's plan and so on. So you meditate a little bit about it. And the third is, how does this apply to my life, huh? That you read about surrender and then you begin to think, oh yeah, maybe I must surrender in a certain field of my life. You, for instance, you may see you have not surrendered really to the morning program, or you have not yet surrendered to your own spiritual master. So what is, you set a time, then you read until something touches you, and then you ask the questions. What does this say? What does it mean? And how does it apply to my life? It's certain questions which help you to bring the subject from outside to the inside, by doing a simple process which is called, I think you have learned it already. What you say is this process called? Personal application. I would say manaha, reflection. You hear, you reflect, and you then you can apply it in the Tyakashori. Remember, when you just hear only, it tends to go in this ear and out the other. If you reflect, put the reflection here, then you hear, and by the reflection, it goes into the heart. So these are questions which refer to, we can say, the art of reflection. Or manaha. You will soon all do this, so I want to ask you, do you have any questions so far for these techniques? No? It's clear, huh? So prayerful reading, this was the technique. Set aside a time, read, it means 15 minutes, 20 minutes, read until something touches you. And then ask these questions. What does this say? What does it mean? How does it apply to my life? Now, another formula, can I write on this, please? This is so beautiful. Vrinda Devi, I really must congratulate you. This, and Krishna Chandra also worked on it. You really created a piece of original art. Maybe we can just not just put it. I thought, you're too fast. I thought we could just put it back like this, but now you have taken it. This is a technique. Now we will come to a more advanced level. I want to have a pen, which is appropriate for this. A blue pen is good, huh? There's also a very nice formula. It's called the Asha formula. Asha, who knows what this word means in Sanskrit? What? Asha means, yes, hope. First is, and these things, please don't think they are just creative imaginations. This is solid spiritual philosophy. It means the attitude. When you read, what could be an attitude? I want to make it a little inter, wie sagt man. What could be the right attitude for reading? One attitude we had. Want to associate with Srila Prabhupada and Krishna. In Jai Govinda. A humble attitude. How do you read humbly? Yes, it's a very good point, but please. Be receptive and open. Yeah. Yeah. Acknowledging my lack of knowledge. Can we say this also positively? My need to know more. Inquisitive is a good attitude. Yes. We should be eager to apply what we read. Mm-hmm. Not just as a theoretical, in a theoretical way. Be eager. Mm-hmm. Appreciate. Yeah. 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 Praying to be able to understand. Yes, I think you have a nice. Yes, very nice. Asha, the second thing is. Please listen carefully, because I will request you to apply this in just a little while. S stands for surrender. I found out in my reading of Prabhupada's books, I had to do a lot of intellectual surrendering, because I always had a different. I just saw things differently, naturally. A poor conditioned soul who grew up in the anti-authoritarian time in my background is, we grew up in a totally anti-authoritarian time. Everyone who was an authority, we would have deep distrust. Teachers in our classroom, I personally was an instrument to drive a teacher crazy. You know, he would come in the classroom, just so that you know the times. And we had made an agreement amongst all our pupils to just stare aggressively towards him and not answer any question he would ask us. He thought he had gone into a cave of lions. He would just look at this like him. And then he looked at the table and he thought, please go immediately, otherwise you will have to deal with 30 highly aggressive pupils. You will find your coat in the pool of water on the school courtyard. And he would go, and run out. And then his coat would be in the pool of water. And he would never return to the school again. This was our upbringing, because we were so angry at the cheating of modern society, and we were just so frustrated, young, poor souls, you know, that. And so now Prabhupada came, the teacher, who said, it is like this, and who talked about many things, contemporary issues, which we saw totally different. I think our Matajis sometimes have to do this also. When they find a statement about from Prabhupada, which it does not really suit us, when we hear we are less intelligent as women.
This is too much. I really don't have to accept this one.
And, we are like this. I think it is understandable. So when you want to accept spiritual, learn spiritual knowledge, you have to acknowledge it may be different than your material knowledge and your material convictions, and study in a mood of surrender, that in a receptive mood. I have seen many Hare Krishna devotees, especially in the small little country of Switzerland. Vrinda Devi knows that the devotees have very difficult to surrender to spiritual philosophy. It's amazing. This is a great difficulty for them to surrender to Prabhupada. There's always, we have to talk about loyalty to Prabhupada and these things, you know, which Switzerland is very amazing in terms of its size and its small size, and but big size of rebellion. Noticed. So then comes the next attitude. These are all attitudes, right? When you approach transcendental knowledge, humility. Does any one of you have an idea of what could be humility when we read Shastra? Yeah. The Mayavadi is in us. Yeah. This is Ravindra Swarup Prabhu. He recognized it. Humility is a very important thing. It means to become real. Humility is a very positive quality. Our Go Govinda Maharaj has given a very nice joke from Orissa about it. There was a man who had boils. Do you know what a boil is? It is a very, very, very disturbing. It's a big thing like this. It's an increased acne. Acne is something which young boys and girls do not like because it distorts their face. But a boil is really, it's so painful. And they come at the most embarrassing places in the body, under the arms. I won't give so many examples, but they always seem to come at the behind of the where you sit. So this man was sitting like this. He had a boil, and he didn't want to sit on it. And someone asked him, why do you sit like this? He said, he was not real. He said, see, there is a shadow of the tree, and I'm putting my head into the shadow of the tree. He really had a boil on his divine behind, but he did not want to admit that. So humility sometimes can mean, say, I'm a fallen soul, I have forgotten you, my dear Krishna. And the last attitude which you should have when you read Shastra Shastra is it means Asha. Asha. It means hope, really. Hope that Krishna will give you something, a jewel. Krishna will give you some, understanding. Krishna will enlighten you. When you read the scriptures, this is very important. Don't try to read it with the head. Read it with the heart. The head means your rationalistic knowledge, your categorization. I think sometimes when we have such Shastra studies like the Bhakti Shastri course or Bhakti Vedanta Bhakti Savaboma, we have to really stress this point to our students. You won't be able to understand if it's only with a head. You must have your heart in it. Heart means surrender to Krishna. Your head has to go down. Do you know when you make your obeisances? If I can just show it to you. Then the head is down and the heart is higher. Anatomically. If you see like this, please. Here's where my head is, my heart and my head is down. Put your head down and let the heart rule. Heart rule means surrender to Krishna. Bhakti. This is the idea of an obeisances. Therefore, it is stated in the Hari Bhakti Vilas, when you make your obeisances, either the Panchanga or Ashtanga pranam, the most important thing is which goes down your mind. Your mind, your heart. Please, my dear Lord. Please accept my humble obeisances. Wonderful, isn't it? So we hope for some enlightenment. Spiritual knowledge, you know, when we hear the songs, Brahma, or the first verse of the Bhagavatam, Tene Brahma Hridaya Adikavaye Mukhyanti Yatsuryayaha. The Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Janma Jasya Yaton Vayat Itaratasya Tesho Bhikjana Svarat. Tene Brahma Hridaya Adikavaye Mukhyanti Yatsuryayaha. And so on. It means I bring my obeisances to Lord Vasudev, who is the source of all sources. He enlightened Lord Brahma from within the heart. It doesn't say from within the head. And when we say, when we pray the Guru prayers, we say, Deep Yogyan. Hrida prakashito. May the knowledge be revealed in my heart. We don't say, Deep yogyan het prakashito. Head in Sanskrit, I do not know what is head in Sanskrit. We say, Deep yogyan hrida prakashito. May it be revealed in my heart. Very important. This means we want to get sanskaras by reading. We want to be impressed by reading. We want to be shaped by the transcendental information when we read. We do not just want to digest it in our intellectual facilities. What do you think, Rabin? It's a good subject, isn't it? Yes, as a scientist, I think you must. So what I want to do is, now, I would like to make a 15-minute pause, and then I will request all of us We will brainstorm together what is prayer for reading, and then we will do it. We will. Bhakta Brahm, in his kindness, has brought transcendental shastra to us, isn't it? And we will be able to do something with it. I will not say it now because it is a surprise. I wish you now a very nice pause, and maybe we can again have Sri Oxygen in here. And it will be 15 minutes. Daniel is already setting his clock, and rest assured, I will not go anywhere. It's really 15 German minutes. Hare Krishna.
Govinda Prabhu, where this, with the throne, invite Krishna on the throne of your heart is? Was it you or who was it? Claire. Have you already told Claire? Good. So now I would request you to, if we can just summarize, work together as a group. You just give your answers to me. You don't have to point your fingers. What is this deepened reading? What is important in this?
Prayer for reading. I think when you heard it, you noticed it was not something entirely new, which is isolated from what we have heard before. It was just putting points together so that they can be useful for our practice. Huh? Prayer for reading. Let us try to do it step by step. What is important? How do you, my question is not clear, I see. How do you read? What do you want to attain when you read? You want to have the association of Srila Prabhupada and also Lord Krishna. Mm-hmm. Very good. Very good. This is very important. I think I didn't make it so clear, but Yadunandan Prabhu has taken, we want to really take instructions from the books for our life. After all, Prabhupada said, you can associate with me in my books, and this we want to do by this method. Mm-hmm. And we want to get instructions. Mm-hmm. Can we just hear a little for the about the technique, please?
Linda Devi? Yes. Yeah. Thank you very much. What is a way to reflect? What could be a way? Yes, Nitya Kishori. Yes, which questions? Yes. Thank you very much. We spoke also about attitudes, how to approach the text. We had a simple formula, the Asha formula. Asha is a Sanskrit word which means hope, really. Mm-hmm. Daniel, could you tell us a few of the internal preparations? Yeah, when you read, or the internal attitudes? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Basically this, like open and receptive. It really means we can... By this, we really mean this, an attitude, surrender, mood, humility, and hope. I really want to say the hope is important, that you seem to get something from it. So now,
we will do this. You can take help of these things in case you need the two blackboards. I want to describe first, and then we will do it. I want to describe what I request you to do is, please go to the table, and not now, after some time, and take a book which maybe you know even of the books which we have put there, or you are intrigued to read in this book, and then open it somewhere and start to read until something touches you. Then think about this and stay there. This is really what it is meant, not race on to the next point. And then after some time I will request you to do free writing on this, what touched you. That means I will explain it then. If you pick up something in the box and it doesn't touch you, like I, for instance, I hope I'm not offensive now, but if I read about the many Manus, it is a little difficult. It does not, I mean, it's difficult. I read it, but I can't say it touches me very much. Or I have something with how one element comes out of the other, the second canto, which is highly technical. I'm not so technical. I can imagine Daniel, who looks like a modern, intelligent young person, can read such things with greater appreciation than me. So if you come on something which is not really, let us say, which doesn't touch you in that sense, then you can move on and go to some other part in the book. Because in prayerful reading, it's not, we don't want to get to know the Shastras in a systematic way. That is one thing, to study the whole Bhagavad Gita and just find out how the chapters are put together and so on. Prayerful reading is, we want to really associate with Prabhupada and Krishna in a way which touches and transforms us. One scholar once said, the Vedic scriptures are not so much aiming at information, they aim at, yes, transformation. Yes, so we want to experience this now. Can I maybe have a wristwatch of someone? Here is a wristwatch. It's a little bit small. My eyes are not so. Is it a stopwatch? Is there such a function? Is there? Yeah, I want to. Oh yeah. Where? How do I start, please? Oh, it counts down now?
It starts, and then it's the same one to stop, and then
This one is to reset. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. So I can press this and say I want 15 minutes, then I look, and when 15 minutes are there. Wonderful, these modern clocks are doing everything for you. Soon you don't have to think anything any longer. Dobro, so good. So I think we are ready. You know what to do? Yeah. So I request all of you to go and pick a book